and welcome to OEG Voices.
OEG Voices.
OEG Voices.
OEG Voices.
A new podcast bringing to you the voices and ideas
of open educators from around the world.
OEG Voices is
produced by Open Education Global,
a member-based
nonprofit organization
supporting the development and use
of open education globally.
Learn more about us
at oeglobal.org.
There's much to take in at a global level.
We hope to bring you closer
to how open education is working
by hearing the stories of practitioners
told in their own voices.
Each episode introduces you
to a global open educator,
and we invite you to later engage in conversation with them
in our OEG Connect community.
And this is another episode of OEG Voices from Open Education Global. I'm your host, Alan Levine, and I have my OEG colleagues, Marcel Morales and Una Deli here. And so how are you, my colleagues, doing today?
Great. Hello, everyone. Happy to be here.
It's a little early here for me, but I'm thrilled to be here and love to hear from Stacy and Abby about their work.
Excellent. Yeah. And we're just like celebrating that it's a Monday, another Monday among Mondays. And so currently we're ramping up to do the next round of the Open Education Awards for Excellence. Nominations are still open. So please, if you're listening to this, consider who you might nominate for this award. And so in celebration of both last year and to give people an idea about what the awards are all about, we're trying to bring you the voices and stories of past winners. And so we're really excited to have here with us today, Stacy Katz and Abby Elder, who were recognized in 2020 for an Open Education Award in the Open Reuse Remix Adaptation category for their work on creating the OE Starter Kit workbook. And we're really excited to learn about that project, how it came to be, and maybe where it's going. And so we'll see where the conversation's going. But Abby and Stacy, welcome. And do you want to just give us your snapshot introduction?
Sure. I mean, well, thank you so much for both the award and for having us on the podcast. This is really exciting. I was really excited to see that this category, even because so often when we work with faculty, they feel like they're doing something wrong when they're reusing or remixing a work or adapting a work. And so this feels like a really great opportunity to celebrate the fact that, like, that's something that we want to do and want to celebrate is when people remix and adapt work. So for me, it felt a little bit like in this work, we could model what we want faculty to do. Abby and I are both librarians. So we work with faculty on OER and adapting OER, and as well as open pedagogy and the like. So we were able to take the starter kit that Abby had remixed and developed and then remix that further into the work.
It's really interesting because I guess I was remixing something that I already created by remixing for this. So it's a double remix, as Stacy mentioned. The OER starter kit I put together in, 2018. And it was a mishmash of original content and things I pulled from elsewhere because there are so many good pieces covering every bit of the OER ecosystem, and I just wanted it all in one place. And then once that was out in the world, I immediately started getting messages from people. Can I adapt this? Can I move this? Can I translate this? And when Stacy reached out wanting to make a workbook, I said, can I please help with it? And so getting to see that come together now and be also acknowledged as an adaptation that's worth noting is really exciting for me.
Abby was also super generous in her starter kit, where she has a note at the front saying, if you have an idea for an adaptation, contact me. So that was partly what prompted me to be like, oh, I'm interested in adapting it in this way. And I had this kind of idea brewing that, you know, ancillaries would be really great to have worksheets for all the workshops that we run on OER, but I didn't kind of have anything to anchor it to. And the OER starter kit came out about that time. So I thought, oh, wouldn't it be great to combine the worksheets that I've got like here and there for different workshops with an actual like text. And then at the same time, I had actually attended a workshop on Manifold, which was also a winner of an OE Global Award for Best Open Tool. So it kind of all came together in this kismet kind of way at the right time, because being part of, so I work at Lehman College, which is part of the City University of New York. And we were because our developers are at the Graduate Center, partly for Manifold, we were a beta site and able to start using Manifold really early on.
So what was it like, I mean, to bring together librarians from New York and Iowa together to work on this project?
Pretty normal, I'd say.
Just everyday operation. And we have a interview with the Manifold team, and it's really exciting because there's so many levels of remix in this. There's moving from different platforms, and the fact that this is a remix of a remix, possibly of another remix. And also the idea, it's a great example, Abby, that you can remix your own work, right?
Yeah, especially I think bringing on contributors to remix your own work is one of the exciting things, where I talk to faculty all the time about, you can make a textbook on your own, but you don't have to go through the process of doing every ancillary and every additional update by yourself. If you want to do a second edition with someone that you think would bring a new perspective to it, go for it. And I think Stacy really helps with that, because I hadn't thought about worksheets before, how I'd make the starter kit more practical for a training mindset, but putting it into a workbook, it actually made it something that I feel like more people can use and more people can actually put into their programs instead of something you can read and use on your own.
Stacy, you know, you released it last year, I think, or and Abby, I'm assuming maybe you're using it as well. Maybe give us an example of how you use that in a faculty training or with a specific faculty who wanted to really dive into OER.
So some of the ones that I use the most are probably the ones about renewable assignments. And that fits actually with some work that I've done with a faculty member at Lehman College also, Jennifer Van Allen, who redesigned her work into renewable assignments, which builds on some, and it's all these like, right, intersections of other parts of work coming together. Because we wrote about that in a chapter for the Open Pedagogy Approaches book. And so we had started to develop a process, but we didn't really have worksheets. So I said, oh, I'm also working on this workbook. So let's develop worksheets that go with it. And then now when we work with faculty to think about moving their assignments from disposable to renewable, we use these worksheets in a standalone workshop. But we can point faculty to this whole workbook and say, this is part of a larger ecosystem. It's not just the worksheets, you know, that we're going through today. There's so much more that we can go through.
Yeah, that's really great. And renewable assignments are such a big part of what we're trying to do right now to move beyond just the content. We're doing something this summer as well around renewable assignments. And I hadn't thought about the toolkit, though, as being a support for that.
It's a brilliant concept to have these materials in the worksheet format to go with the open textbook, because we find interactive pieces in there, but this is like a whole collection that would enable people to put this textbook into use. So brilliant idea for that. Do you have, what are people saying? Like, what kind of feedback are you getting from other librarians and people supporting faculty using the worksheets?
And we've gotten really nice feedback from folks. We hear all the time what people are using. In fact, sometimes we forget that the permissions on the Google Docs should be set in a certain way, and accidentally we see that people are using them. So we send them a little note saying, like, actually, we have to, you know, you have to copy this. Because we used Google Docs for the worksheet, partly because it was just a platform where you can copy and reuse it, and also because Manifold is an ingestion platform. So we were also moved the starter kit into Manifold as well, although we did that via Pressbooks. But the Google Docs folder can just be copied by anyone, and then they can use it on their own. And another motivation behind the worksheets was also to give faculty practice, like writing for the web, where if they were going to ingest into Manifold, they would have practice, you know, doing alt text on an image. Because so often they forget to do that, and then the only time you're doing that is when you're actually creating. So it gives you that little bit of practice going in.
Yeah, I was going to say, one of my favorite things about the worksheets is that they can either be downloaded as a set, or you can just pick out the ones for the chapters you want to go over. So far, what I've just done when using them is having faculty read a chapter before a workshop, attend the workshop, and then go through the worksheets together. But what I'd like to do, once we were able to get like an actual setup for it, is to run through it over a semester to have an actual faculty learning community to work through the starter kit and the worksheets as a set. Because then by the end of it, you'll have gotten the backgrounds on what are OER, how do I provide attribution on an image, how does open pedagogy work? And it won't just be the ad hoc bits and pieces, but more of a group thing. So that's exciting. It's just something I don't think either Stacy or I have had the chance to do in practice yet.
No, especially not given the wildness of how this year went. But we did also set up an adoption form within the starter kit. So if anyone is using it, you know, there's a form in there that they can fill out to let us know how they're using it, what they think of it. We did also, before we released the starter kit, send the worksheets out to some colleagues for sort of an informal peer review to see if what we were missing, what they would want to see in it. So we did get feedback in advance in that way as well.
I wanted to follow up on something Abby said, if I might. You know, Abby, you said you think of it as possibly a whole training course that you can take people through using the starter kit with the worksheets and so forth. What would you, if you did that virtually or even in person, what would be like the duration? I know there's certain modules and right now I've forgotten how many, but would it be like, would you do it over like a 4-week period, you know, maybe meeting once a week if it was virtual or something, or, you know, maybe, and I assume a lot of it would be asynchronous as well, but have you thought about that?
Yeah, it would definitely be 4 or 5 weeks. So there's 5 sections, but the first 2 are intro to OER and licensing. So you could definitely combine those 2 to get them at the same time. The later ones, you'd want a week each to get through the creation and teaching and the more in-depth bits. But I think 4 or 5 weeks would be definitely doable, especially if you could get the pre-training, get the readings done when we hop in, then we can talk more of the actual process and doing the worksheets together and answering questions. But I've been thinking about it a lot. It's just getting the time and the incentives for people to actually participate is the hard part.
Yeah. And then at the end of that, say 4 to 5 week period, would they be then kind of launched into their project? Because I could see this going along with like a faculty stipend program, and which is you're referring to those incentives, but kind of what would you want them to do next? I mean, obviously 4 to 5 weeks isn't really time to adapt an entire course or, you know, write a textbook.
Yeah, my hope would be, sort of my dream for the future, is to have more learning communities and people that are excited about OER on campus, even if they're not actively working on something at the moment, so they can think about and have a base of knowledge about it to talk to other people about OER, even if they're just adopting right now and they're thinking about something for the future. If they have that base to work from, then they can always come back the next time we have a round of grants and be able to put forth something that is based on an actual knowledge of how OER works, which is something that, you know, you don't always have in people applying for grants. Sometimes they just have the very baseline knowledge and they want some money. But having more people that are not knowledgeable and interested on campus and able to talk to their peers is like the dream.
That makes sense, because people are going to have their ideas on different timelines than when you run your workshops, and you want them to be able to tap into what they experience then. And thinking about what you described, Abby, as learning communities, can you talk about the other way that is set up within Manifold to interact in terms of the annotation? How is that working out? Because I have a lot of interest in that area.
Stacy, would you like to talk about that bit a little?
Sure. Well, so, you know, Manifold has the built-in collaborative annotation. You know, we haven't seen what's going on if people are creating those reading groups. Manifold is building out some more analytics as we speak. So we haven't quite seen that happening in real time yet. But we're certainly hoping that more people will go in and annotate more publicly as well. So we know about more of the worksheet use than we do about the actual annotation happening within the workbook. But I spoke to Robin Miller just the other day, who said they're building out some analytics that won't be Google-based. So that was also very exciting. So we'll be able to see what people are actually gravitating towards within the workbook. But right now it's a little bit opaque for us.
It's good for the people working on it, because they can feel comfortable like, oh, this is our private group and we're working on it and learning at our own pace. But for us knowing how it's actually being used, it's like, it would be nice to know that people are doing this, at least telling us at the very least.
Well, it's so interesting, because it's not like annotation is an exotic, strange activity for academics. But doing it in this kind of digital social space is kind of another step into trying out something different.
I just went in and I do see like a fair bit of highlighting that I hadn't noticed before. So people are in there and doing things. We just don't know, you know, like as creators, we don't always know what people are doing with it.
Well, and that's part of OER. Sometimes you know, and sometimes you don't know, but you know, you're creating more possibilities for other people out there. Any thoughts about like what comes next with this? Is there something else that you want to throw into the mix or would like to augment the OER workbook?
I mean, I would love to hear from other folks who have worksheets, if there's a place to anchor more worksheets and adapt those and include them and really build that out. I think that would be really exciting to have more. I mean, I think there are things that as this field is growing that we should be thinking about for a next version, particularly open pedagogy, building it out. I know Abby's worked though also on different iterations of the OER starter kit. So it's growing in other directions as well. So Abby, I don't know if you want to hype that work.
Yeah. So first, I'm currently working on the second edition of the OER starter kit. So I'm going to dig more into adaptation and the other types of OER work that aren't really built into the original quite as much yet. Also to build on it, because I'd only been working in OER for a year and a half, 2 years when I made the first one. So I was still using the writing as a chance to teach myself, whereas now I'll be revisiting it saying, oh yeah, that's not exactly how you describe open pedagogy. That's a little bit old school. And at the same time, I'm working on the OER starter kit for program managers, which is sort of a different beast. We just had 86 peer reviewers finish review of the chapters. There are over 30 chapters, 5 lead authors, a bunch of people worked on case studies for it. So it's going to be sort of a guide to managing OER work at your institution, from the building your team, getting buy-in from stakeholders, running grant programs, publishing programs. It's a beast. So I won't go into that too much more than that, but watch out for it later this year or early next year.
I'm so excited about that. It's something needed. I've talked to statewide leaders who are starting up OER, initiatives and grant programs, and they're motivated, but they don't understand a lot of the needs around putting up in a program like that, getting the training in place, making sure that, you know, that the people who actually get the grant are supported throughout that period. And so I'm just so excited. Sorry, I wasn't able to get into the peer reviewing. You guys closed early because
we had so many. I got to the point where when I was putting out the certificates for peer reviewers to go out this week, I just had to take a step back and then Google, is there a way to send to create a bunch of certificates at one time? And that's how I discovered Mail Merge and Word. And that made my day. So luckily, I did not make the horrible decision of trying to hand write out everyone's names on certificates.
That's really inspiring. Like a couple things that you just described, that you're learning as you're figuring this out as the needs come up, which is a great lesson for faculty that you're trying to, you know, invite into this way of operating. But also what you said earlier, that you're into OERs about a year and a half when you started working on this starter kit, and look where you are right now. So let Abby be a lesson for everybody.
Yep, just keep learning and adding the Mail Merge and Word to the program manager starter kit as well. Like, oh, are you sending out a bunch of things to people? Here's some tools you should know about. Oh, goodness.
He was just such a like generous and thoughtful and open collaborator that I've really just been so happy to work with her and so lucky to like have this work together. It's been really a wonderful process to think about how do we sort of honor each other's work and also contribute to something new.
Yeah. And Stacey, I wanted to ask you a question related to that. So there are so many people who've been involved in producing OER. You know, Abby started with different materials created by other people. You've adapted it. You've brought in new materials. Licensing that, you know, with all the attributions must be complicated. Any thoughts on, because I get that from faculty. It's like, oh my God, I got it from so-and-so and now I'm changing it. What do I do? How do I do this attribution? I'm looking for information to share with people.
And I think Abby had done a lot of that with the starter kit to begin with, where she was really has like a very, really good front matter where she has where everything kind of came from each chapter. So that was, I think, taken care of for the most part because she had done so much of that. And then the worksheets were really much more, from our own work and from our own knowledge base where we just wrote our own, here's how we want this to be attributed. Because some of that came from my work with Jennifer or just from Abby and my own experience within OER. Like like my, one of my favorite worksheets is the, is this an OER? Which the answer to many of those questions is no, this is not an OER. And you think it is. I know you think it is because it's free on the internet, but no, it is not. So we did a lot of describing those cases from our own kind of experiences within workshops.
Yeah, I think we had maybe 2-3 tops worksheets that had already existed in some form that we were working with. And we said, why reinvent the wheel? We'll adapt this version and make it one of the worksheets for the starter kit. So we did have a couple that were adapted, but besides that, most of the attribution statements were in the book itself, either in the front matter or for specific chapters. So how I usually approach that is if it's the base for a whole section, then I'll put it in the front matter because that's basically a co-author on the book. They deserve to have front billing. But if it's a paragraph or a couple of paragraphs for a section where I just took a small bit of their work and adapted it for use, then I'll have it in the footnotes for that section so that there's still acknowledgement of them there, but it's not 3 pages in the front matter of all the things that were used.
Yeah, that makes it a lot more reasonable. Yeah, and easier when people adapt a section or a chapter, what have you, and they just take whatever is, well, I'm not sure in that case. Actually, do they take front matter and the footnotes from the current? Yep. Anyway, maybe a question for another time.
To think about.
It was with the stuff you like, you have like the understanding, and then you scrape a little bit. Oh, there's a little bit more nuance, and so, but what you've done here is such a great model on so many levels for the starter kit being itself, the remix, and the way you've demonstrated all the good practices that we want people to take up.
Yeah, I think one of the best things about it is getting it in manifold and having all of these different options, because I feel in the OER space, it's easy to forget there are so many different tools and options available for people to learn from. So taking this out of Pressbooks and putting it in something like manifold that might be new for people, but still exciting to work in. It's got that built-in annotation piece, and you can actually embed in the Google Docs where you can immediately go to them or go to them within the book itself. It's cool to see what can happen when you're not just adapting in the same place, but adapting somewhere else and bringing it to a new community. So it'll be exciting to see if someone else adapts it from here, where it'll end up and how that will affect the worksheets as well. So many possibilities. I don't even know where to start.
So I keep on coming back to the starter kit as a great example of that. And hopefully we'll be reaching out to see if we have a Spanish version of it. So we're looking for starter kits for the Spanish-speaking community. And I keep on pointing to yours like, oh, this is a great way of doing it. So I just wanted to commend you guys of how well-organized the information is. I know that you have started saying, like, it's a huge ocean of information, but looking at your starter kits and saying, this is a workbook that you can start, like, the first step. And it's so easy to understand, and having the worksheets attached to it, it's just fabulous. So yeah, looking forward to maybe seeing a Spanish version soon for an adaptation of it in some of the chapters for the Spanish-speaking community.
Very exciting. I mean, because I know CUNY has a large Hispanic student population and faculty as well. So it would be really exciting.
Muy fantástico, as Alan brushes off his terrible Spanish. So
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, anyone looking for Spanish resources, also there's within Manifold, a great collection called Libros en Español, also put together by one of my colleagues, Juan Jesus Payan.
It was really wonderful to talk to the Manifold team because it's quite a beautiful platform. I have to say I think Abby kind of summarizes it. It's kind of refreshing in a way, isn't it?
What could you repeat that, Ellen?
The Manifold platform is visually the way it's constructed and also its capabilities are kind of refreshing in a way.
Stacey, we should get some of the Manifold people maybe to do a webinar for the community, because I don't think I know it is a CUNY tool, and I didn't realize it was available generally.
I think it's still in beta at certain sites, but it is more available now. I forget who's using it, but I know that Affordable Learning
Georgia started using
it. And I should say it's not just CUNY. It is a collaboration between Cast Iron Coding, University of Minnesota Press, and the CUNY Graduate Center. Just to give the proper attribution and credit where it's due, but I think of it as a CUNY project because it's, I've been very excited by the work that you know, Matt Gold and that team does. It's really, they're such wonderful colleagues to have, you know, and for me, part of it was learning this tool that I could teach others, you know, faculty how to use. So having that experience of ingesting something into Manifold and, you know, learning the tool as I was going along, because there were parts of it that I didn't know before of how to use like YAML files and things like that, that I was learning. But it really, it's a nice tool to use. And there is another project that I was working on at the same time of just ingesting in of some CUNY student stories, which was also featured in one of the CCC OER webinars.
Yeah, last fall. Yeah.
My slipper floated away.
Exactly. Yeah. A really amazing set of memoirs from the students. Mm-hmm.
So it's really nice to have these, you know, homegrown platforms to be able to use because, well, we don't have Pressbooks currently at CUNY. So that's part of it. We're in the process of the contract, but if you know anything about CUNY, things take a little bit of time here. So it was really nice for us to have this like OER platform with so many possibilities and have the support as well. Jojo Carlin, who's not on that team anymore, moved on to NYU, but she's still, I think, in heart on that team, really also consulted with Abby and myself to help us think through the options of Manifold and what we could do with it.
Thank you. And you'll get your dose of Manifold very soon. I have to say, they also have a lot of fun. I mean, they're a really great group of colleagues, and you can tell this work is meaningful to them. I really want to thank you, Abby and Stacy, for taking time on your Monday to talk to us about your project. And I learned a lot about it, and I hope other people really take a close look at it and think about the ways that they might put this to use.
Thanks for having us. It was really a pleasure to talk to all of you and see you on Zoom, even though the podcast folks won't see us.
Yeah, thank you very much. It was, it's so weird to be talking and know that it's being recording and that someone else will hear it at some point. I think we're in so many meetings these days where we're just like, we'll talk about whatever, it's fine, we can catch up on our work. But hopefully this will be helpful and useful for the community as well.
I'm pretty sure it will be. And so I want to thank everybody who is listening to this podcast when it's out there and recorded and published. This is OEG Voices. It's a podcast we're doing from Open Education Global. We're going to have some music playing as we exit. It's open license music called Joyful Meeting, which always to me feels like describes how these events when we get together. And so it's by an artist named Crow Wander, found in the Free Music Archive, licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial license. And you'll find this episode at our site, voices.oeglobal.org. And we hope you engage in follow-up conversations with Abby and Stacy and other award winners in our OEG Connect community. And so anybody else out there, if you want to share your open education work, projects, or anything that you think is interesting, or suggest a future guest for the show, just please let us know. And so we want as many voices on here as we can possibly fit in the Zoom room. So thanks everybody again for spending some time with us, and we hope to see you again.